Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
You might notice that we are, in fact, here in person. See these legs? They're real.
Bet you're not used to seeing those.
Bet you're not used to
seeing those. Bet you're not used to seeing those beautiful things.
Or you're not used to seeing those with us within arm's reach of each other. Look, we can... You see how that works? You see how we're real people that know each other in real life?
This also, like... is very strange.
Yeah.
This is like...
We are in Spotify Studios today. Sorry to bury the lead.
This is the same day as the show, like literally an hour.
The very first New York City show. The tour's over by the time you're watching this, so congratulations. Mm-hmm. You rocked it, Madeline. You killed it.
Thank you. Zach, you did the best job ever.
Thank you. So here we are, recording for you, and the topic of today's episode is truly underrated Taylor Swift songs, and we have a perspective on this.
We do have a perspective. And the perspective is there used to really be really underrated Taylor songs.
Back in the day.
There were songs that nobody would ever talk about, nobody ever paid attention to. If you rode for one of these songs, you were a shooter.
Taylor ignored them.
They were never getting played live. Mm-hmm. There were some songs that we thought would never see the light of day again. Of course, the Eras Tour changed all of that. Mm-hmm. And now, I think due in large part, honestly, to the surprise songs and the Taylor's Version project, there is no, allegedly, truly underrated Taylor Swift songs.
Every song has a shooter.
Every single song.
Every single song. Even songs song. That you think, there's no possible way someone would feel strongly enough about this to send me a death threat for saying, I don't like it, you're wrong.
A Perfectly Good Heart, there are shooters.
Uh-huh.
There are shooters.
Only the Young has shooters.
Yeah, and I actually got taken off of Twitter. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I got ran off of Twitter. I got deplatformed for saying, I didn't even say it was bad. It was a clip of her in Miss Americana doing... Only the Young, recording it in the studio. And I said, it kills me how hard she thinks she's serving. And they mass reported me
because
and I got deplatformed.
Because it used the word kill. That's how Twitter used to work. Now they don't, they DGAF, you could say all that and more.
Oh yeah.
But you can't.
You can't.
So here's the tea, is that there are no underrated Taylor Swift songs, and yet here we are, we've picked some that we think actually are underrated. So what Swifties think are underrated songs are, for example, anything from Folklore and Evermore. They think every song on those albums are underrated. And the thing is that I think those albums are very, very rated in the Taylor Swift fandom.
I think they definitely are.
And because none of them had singles, they all have kind of had their own moment. It's easier to say there's an underrated song on an album that had hits, like big songs, because... they don't immediately spring to mind when you're thinking of those eras. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, I think these are songs that generally I just don't see getting talked about very often or getting talked about in a positive way.
I did the ones that I shoot for. I did
well,
ones
me
that
too.
I shoot
They're
for.
The ones I love.
And then there's one on there that I'm not necessarily a shooter for, but I do think as time has gone on, it's definitely become underrated, and I don't really see it talked about as one of the best songs from its album. Not that I'm the shooter. Mason's kind of a shooter for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's kick it off, Madeline. What's your first underrated song?
Okay, so my first underrated song, this is one that I'm a shooter for. This is one that I've been a shooter for. I was a shooter for this from day one. The first time I heard the song, I've been shooting for it. Come In With the Rain.
I'll leave my
one of the best
window.
Songs ever.
So true.
It's really, really well written also. And it's not just like because she was so young when she wrote it, but it's like oddly, it's one of the most... for the era, this is from the Fearless era, one of the most, like, existential and, like, deep thought-provoking Taylor songs from the earlier years.
It's very literary.
Talk to the man with the reasons why.
Talk to the wind. There's something the prophecy coded about
there's
it.
There's something. Evermore.
Oh, Sister Songs.
Evermore.
Hello. We just
Hello?
Came new Sister Songs idea.
Hello.
Hello. Come In With the Rain is a really beautiful song. And also, it's like, I think, one of her best country songs. Like, it's a real country song to me. And it
has
a cadence and a swell that's really gorgeous.
I love the second verse.
Can she sing it live?
I've got you down. I know you by heart. And you don't even know where I start.
You don't know that. It's none of your business. It should be, but it's not.
Heartbreaking. One of my favorite songs ever of all time. Definitely, in my opinion. Top two on Fearless Platinum. Top two on Fearless.
Top two on Fearless? Now that is a take.
I said what I said.
It's not a bad one. I'm just saying it's a take that I've never heard before.
And that's why. Underrated.
Uh-huh. Underrated.
Underrated.
You never thought about it like
underrated.
That, huh? All right. Maybe I'll go to my underrated song. Maybe I'll go a little bit further down the list of albums that we have. I Almost Do from Red. I think this is an underrated song. I don't see people talking about it very much. And I think that this is on Red, I remember hearing this song for the first time and being like, there's my girl.
You know what's really interesting about I Almost Do is that I remember when it first came out, everybody was obsessed with it. And now as time has gone on, it's like nobody talks about it anymore.
I Almost Do was second to All Too Well in terms of fan fave when it came out at first.
They loved it.
Even more than like A Sad, Beautiful, Tragic.
And she did not play it on the tour, correct?
She did. She played it on the first night of the Red Tour, and we thought it was going to be permanently on the set list. And then that was the surprise song slot. So she played it a couple of times. But did she sing it on the – she did do it on the Eras Tour,
Oh, definitely. She at least mashed it up.
Well, it's one of the better ones from Red, I have to say. And it's best played on the guitar. It really shouldn't be played on the piano. I'm really shooting for that to be on the guitar. But I think I Almost Do is really good because it describes a specific moment of that push and pull, the whole concept of Red. It's the album, you know, love being something that's bright and burning and crashing and going between things. I Almost Do is a really good example of, like, how painful that is, I think. Because it's not just about the dramatic moment of, like, the breakup or the fight, the dissolution. It's about the period of time where you're trying to restrain yourself from doing something that you know is bad for you. And it still doesn't feel good, even though you know you're doing it for the right reasons.
And she wants him to know.
It takes
every time I don't,
everything
I
in me
do.
Not to call you. Now, see, I would never let that sentiment make it to the public domain. I wouldn't want the person that I'm trying really hard not to call to know that I was feeling that way. And that is why we are
different people. That's why we are different people. She's brave. She's braver
than
I am.
She's an emotional exhibitionist. She really is.
She is. She likes to let people know.
She's a
nudist. She was down bad.
She's an emotional nudist.
She'll say it. She doesn't care. Mm-hmm. I was down bad and I was really hurting. And
she
now
was.
What? And now what?
What's your next underrated song,
so,
Miss Diva?
My next underrated song... This is another situation where it was really, really well-liked when the album first came out, and now as time has gone on, nobody talks about it anymore. I'm sure somebody's going to say, it's not really overrated because she has performed it before. Maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say False God.
Right. Uh-huh. She definitely tried to bring it back.
She put her outfit on SNL, and she got the saxophone out, and she did. But that's because it's such a New York-coded song. She was like, I can't not play it.
You're the West Village.
I cannot not play it. So I think it's really underrated now. I think when people talk about Lover, like if we're talking about, oh, the best songs on Lover, people aren't usually talking about False God. I did not like False God when the album first came out. I thought that it was out of place. I thought that it didn't make any sense on its place in the track list, which I still think, for the record. There's nowhere you could have put it other than where
no.
It is. So it is what it is. But over as time has gone on, I really kind of appreciate it for what it is. Because there's really not another Taylor Swift song just like that song.
No, there isn't.
It's only that one. And as far as songs that she's written about New York, I think False God is kind of the most New York-coded one. It has the vibe of a late-night New York City neon lights walk.
It's the most elegantly expressed song about New York. And also, I think she got a lot of, like, criticism for the way that she names places there in the song. But I love that. You're the West Village.
I still do before you may.
Like, there's something to it that's very, New York-coded. I used to listen to this song when I was on my walk home from work, and I would cross over the bridge into Greenpoint, and it would be, like, raining, and there'd be, like, street lamps shining on the reflection of the rain on the ground, and I would be smoking a little cigarette, and I'd be thinking, I'm an alley cat. Where's my fedora, and where are my sneak-around clothes? I need to hide and think and seduce.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any song that puts you in a place like that deserves to be overrated.
I think so, too. I also think it's very Midnight's coded.
Yeah, there is something very Midnight's about it. I mean, I love the concept of a False God slut mashup. Those songs really are sister songs in vibe, in tone, in production even. Thank you.
Thank you so much for
Thank
that.
You for the saxophone. We've been needing that.
We really have been needing that. I was happy with it.
Thank you for the performance on SNL, even though it was of...
It was kind of iffy.
Quality.
She was kind of doing...
She looked uncomfortable.
She knew what she didn't know what she was doing, but that's okay. I cheered.
All right. Well, speaking of cheering, I'm gonna go here. We're gonna have to serious for a moment. I think "Soon You'll Get Better" is an extremely underrated Taylor Swift song. I think it's one of her best songs ever made, actually. And I think that people don't talk about it, obviously, because the subject matter is it's about her mom struggling with cancer, a very serious, heavy, difficult topic. But I think also there was something about deciding not to rank it and stuff like that and kind of putting it aside that really leaves it out of the conversation of songs on Lover. And I think that it rounds out the picture of Lover and makes it something a lot deeper than what could be a very shallow and superficial record. there's something about, like, it's the song that ties the concept together for me, because she says that lover, it's about all embracing all the different kinds of love in your life and all the different expressions of that, how it shows up, what it kind of does to your psyche. And there is nothing, I think, in Taylor's mind that is stronger and more resilient than her love for her mother. And that's, like, a very important part of her. Her discography, her career, her relationship to her fans is actually very much informed by her relationship to Andrea, too. So there's, like, a parasocial nature of listening to that song. And I also think that just from a writing perspective, it is one of her best written songs. She zooms in on these, like, very specific and particular images. The other day when I was getting Ed Sheeran, I was trying to come up with a song of, because they were saying that Taylor and Ed Sheeran do the same thing and they make the same music and Taylor's just a female version of him. And I was like, well, let's compare Old Phone to Soon You'll Get Better. Someone's dying. It's Old Phone.
Yeah.
Someone's not making it out of that one.
Yeah.
And the moment that I zoomed in on was Holy Orange Bottles, Each Night I Pray to You, and also the buttons of her coat getting tangled in her hair in the doctor's office. Like, it's just such an immediate portrait of what it feels like to be in that situation. And the bridge, who am I supposed to talk to? What am I supposed to do if there's no you?
It's very, very poignant. It's a very powerful song.
I don't listen to it often because it's very upsetting.
It's very upsetting to listen to.
But it's a gorgeous, gorgeous song. And I think the Chicks did an incredible job with the backing vocals and everything.
Well, I also think it's kind of like an interesting portrait, like, of the specific kind of grief that, like, not a lot of people write about. Everybody thinks about grief as, like, something has already happened.
Right.
The passing has happened, or, you know, this has happened. But there's a lot of, like, grief that happens before the event even happens, because you're thinking in your head, I know it's gonna happen. So then it's why am I sad? And you're ruining everything by being sad. You only have so much time left. Why are you being sad? But, like, you can't help it.
It's anticipatory, yeah. Like, grief. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And she expresses that so beautifully in the song. And just the idea of, like, the way that it's phrased, because it's a weird phrase, soon you'll get better. Like, it doesn't really, like, you wouldn't say it. It's more like, you'll get better soon. And she reverses it when she sings it. And that last, because you have to, really, it gets me every time.
It's very powerful.
It gets me every time. And that's how you feel. I guess, like, you know, when you're not a doctor yourself and you're dealing with someone who's going through, like, a health crisis, you feel so powerless. And that doctors are, like, gods that can, like, make miracles happen and move mountains. Right. But at the end of the day, like, they're just also people, and nothing is guaranteed.
Exactly.
So on that note, Madeline,
what's my next one? I think mine might be, this isn't too hard of a pivot. So my next underrated song, yes, I am a stan, I'm biased, but Hoax, I'll say it.
Right?
Okay. Underrated. They don't get it. They don't get it.
Nobody's getting it.
And, like, when I see people really, really going hard on, like, that, let's, you know, now that we have all this information, thanks to Midnight, thanks to Torture Poets, let's go into Folklore Evermore. I see people talking about all these other songs. Why are we not talking about Hoax? We need to revisit it. I need to do a revisit it. Because I already have one, but that was done. Oh my gosh, was that post or pre Jover? I genuinely don't remember. I think it was pre. My first Hoax lyrical analysis was pre-Jover.
Oh, mama, you got to revisit that.
We need to get back in there, because I remember when the song first came out. Now, remember, when Folklore came out, we weren't having conversations about, are Joe and Taylor going to break up? Some people were. Unfortunately, those conversations skewed kind of conspiracy tin hatter.
Yeah.
There was a kernel of truth to them, though. I mean, we have to admit the truth. Yeah. But nonetheless, I remember the conversations about, like, I kind of think that this song could be about Joe Alwyn. I remember it made me uncomfortable, because I was like, I feel like that's a weird thing to say when, as far as we know, they're in a perfectly happy, committed relationship. For past tense me, I still agree that that was the right take.
Past me.
Past me, I want to tell you not to get lost in these petty things.
You were right.
And I didn't.
You were right.
And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't really want to speculate about it in that way. So I didn't. I kind of think that it really mirrors My Tears Ricochet a lot.
Mm.
So, like, I think it's kind of a composite sketch of, like, betrayal in general. And when she says, you could be about anybody, we don't know. I definitely think now, post-Jover, we can say, we could speculate all we want, that there is a little bit of Jover angle to it. I mean, it's not like the whole song's about him. I definitely think there's other layers to it. But nobody's unpacking the layers. Nobody's going into the croissant and picking it apart. Hoax is a complicated biscuit. Hello.
Why aren't they?
You know I left a
They're doing it to the
York.
Alchemy.
You knew the hero died, so what's the movie for? I've been saying it this whole time.
They don't get it.
I've been saying it this whole time. I still don't know which camera to
you
look
need,
at.
You need to... It's this one. Yours is this one. This one is yours. if you need to revisit it, you should. And I think you should probably maybe also get a little Chloe or Sam up in there.
We need to do the whole category.
Scratch and start over. We're just going to be doing this forever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with that. To just scratch and start over.
I'm happy with that.
We're just endlessly analyzing the same shit over and over
again. Well, it's fun because there's so many different ways to look at it, honestly. And I'm not going to be...
And we're not going to look at it in the way of Gaylor, you know? We're not going to do that. So why it's still fun, because it's based in reality somehow.
Yeah, we don't... We'll put the tin hat on a little bit.
Not like that.
Not like that.
Not like that. Anyway, my next underrated song is The Outside.
Okay.
From debut. I think this is, from debut and from the catalog, one of the least appreciated songs. It was the one that resonated the most with me when I heard Debut in Full for the first time when I was like 12 or 13. I was getting bullied and I needed to hear The Outside. I needed to hear it. And I think also what's interesting about it is that it's one of the oldest songs on Debut, like one of the first ones that she wrote. And I think that it is still better than some of the other concoctions on that record.
You saw me there, but never knew that I would give it all.
It's also the foundation of the Taylor Swift myth. It is the foundation of all of her neuroses about being cool, about being the popular girl, about wanting Doll Domination World Tour, about not feeling good enough, about being a pathological people pleaser.
She wanted to be on the inside real bad.
Ground zero is The Outside.
Yeah, seriously. That everything is built up from the outside and a place in this world.
And she functions best artistically when she's coming at it from the outside. Mm-hmm. When we get too in it, we start to lose the plot.
But I agree. I think The Outside is really underrated. Nobody talks about it. And for all these so-called scholars, for all these so-called original Swifties, you guys don't have anything to say about The Outside? Nothing?
We know you Ferris love Bueller, Mary's song. Bueller, we heard Bueller. It before. We heard you love it. Tied together with a smile. Cold as you. Been there. Done that. Come on now.
Come on. Somebody get your ass up and say The Outside.
I didn't know what I would find when I went looking for a reason. I didn't know. And now I do. Mm-hmm. Thank you, young Taylor.
How can I ever try to be better? Nobody ever lets me in.
Also, the chorus is really catchy. I actually think melodically, it's one of the better pop songs on the record. It has a DNA.
I can still see you. This ain't the best view.
You know what? It kind of has a rough draft of Our Song vibe to it, just like the melody, the way it goes.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. She was always doing pop. That's what nobody understands. Mm-hmm. They didn't get it back then in Countryville. Nope. They said, oh, this girl, she all of a sudden is going pop. All of a sudden, she's going pop. All of a sudden, Grandpa, let's get you back to bed.
She's always been. She's been doing this.
She's been doing this.
So, The Outside.
Anyway.
That's on period.
Anyway. Okay, so my next one.
Oh, say
it. Are you ready for this?
I say it.
And I'm right.
Uh-huh.
They'll try to tell me I'm wrong, but I know my truth. 'Tis the Damn Season.
Underrated.
He's already doing it.
I don't
she
know
took it off
about
the set
that.
List and nobody
I
cared.
Don't know about
nobody
that.
Cared.
Well, I cared.
Yeah,
I cared.
Well, you can't see it for the way that I see it because I'm not a stan. I'm completely unbiased.
Right. I'm a stan.
I'm telling you, they don't talk about it. I almost put Willow, but I had to acknowledge the truth. Just that.
You're like, that's a medal.
I think it should be more rated, but it's definitely not underrated. I mean, it stayed on the set. Everybody loves that moment in the tour, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But 'Tis a Damn Season, they couldn't have given a F-U-C-K less. When she took it off the set list, they said, we don't care. In general, if I can speak even further, Evermore set underrated. Now what? Now what are you going to do?
I don't think anyone's going to argue with you on that. She says, now what? Who wants to fight? Everyone's like, yeah, okay, agreed. Thanks.
And I think that it's over now. What was the New Testament Eras Tour set, the Folklore Evermore set is literally the Folklore set with a couple of Evermore songs in it. And she did all this hooting and hollering, I love Evermore. How could you say that I don't like Evermore? That's why.
You took Tolerated off the set list. Now, if we were talking about underrated songs from Evermore,
that's why.
I would maybe zero in on a
Tolerated. No, Tolerated isn't underrated. You're wrong. 'Tis the Damn Season underrated. They don't care. They don't care. It got taken completely off the set list. And I'm going to say this too. You guys don't know what you were missing.
Oh.
You say, I don't care.
A live arrangement.
I don't care.
She didn't even put it in the movie.
No,
didn't even get to go.
She was twirling around. Honestly, 'Tis the Damn Season, that moment was like the August of the Evermore set.
Yeah.
It was magical. It was ethereal. It was everything.
And she was serving face too.
And nobody cared.
And you know what? It's one of the best songs on Evermore, but nobody ever wants to hear that. I've been standing it since day one. Day one, I've said that.
That was all you wanted.
When I thought it was a Haler song. And I'm going to stand in my truth. You got to let me have it every now and then.
I'll let you have it.
Thank you.
I don't care. That's the truth. Other people?
Other people are going to care. All right, next. Where should I go with this? I think, All You Had to Do Was Stay. That is an underrated song. I think that I Wish You Would has had a deserved resurgence in terms of being like the 1989 deep cut. And songs like This Love, for example, have so many fucking shooters, like all over the shop. And I'm saying All You Had to Do Was Stay doesn't get the memento of the pop perfection that it is, because it's a goddamn banger. It's not like even How You Get the Girl has its little stannies. I don't see my All You Had to Do Was Stay warriors out in the field with me. I'm here. I'm screaming. I'm the one that was so gagged by Taylor's version of it because it was so, I was the only one that cared.
I would agree with that sentiment. I would agree with the sentiment that it's underrated. They don't care.
That she took it off the set list too?
They didn't care.
That's another song she axed right off. And that was a crazy. The All You Had to Do Was Stay 1989 performance was crazy. She was lying all over the floor and throwing her head around and sitting in an armchair, and the guys were getting thrown across the stage. She was strutting in a way that you wouldn't believe. The ad-libs at the end of All You Had to Do Was Stay are also crazy. Pop perfection.
I'm saying it. The thing is, I don't even remember All You Had to Do Was Stay in the 1989 tour.
Oh, it's
is it in the movie?
Oh, yes, it is.
It's in the movie. Okay.
Yes, it is.
I was like, why do I not remember it? You know what it
is? It's the anticipating of 1989.
It's the anticipating of 1989.
Like the Britney song.
Oh!
I should have prefaced.
Explain.
I should have prefaced.
Yeah.
It is.
It's the anticipating of 1989.
It's the song that when you hear it, you're like, I'm shocked this wasn't a hit. And why does no one talk about it?
I agree. I think that if she gave it a little bit more of a moment, we could have had more of a moment.
Could we have done that instead of Out of the Woods as the final single? I think we could have done that.
And you know what? Out of the Woods.
It had its moment. She was the second pre-release.
I'm going to say it.
I know what you're going to say. Go say it.
Overrated.
You heard it.
Now what?
You heard.
Now what?
I think it's rated, but it could be overrated.
Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods yet? I'm doing Jack Antonoff.
You do Jack, I'll do Taylor.
Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods?
It is, but it is also, Out of the Woods is so deeply 1989 to me.
It's true. I would never say that it's not like a really quintessential 1989 song. I do think it was a mistake to make it the final single. And I think that she was trying to make a moment. She was trying to have a moment.
When is she not?
She was trying to. She wants to have a moment like the mime.
She needs a moment. She needs a moment.
She's trying to have a moment.
Don't do that. Don't do that. It's rude. Don't do that. No love.
Don't do that. It's rude. Nonetheless, yeah, she was trying to have a moment with Out of the Woods, and I just think it never landed.
She was trying to daylight
out of the
woods.
It should have been New Romantics. That kind of a video. I mean, not the drama.
New Romantics technically was the final single, but we don't acknowledge tour videos in this house.
No, but we say that. The Fearless tour video.
Oh. I'm watching that.
At the time, I was like, where's the visuals? Where's this? Where's that? Absolutely. But now, I love it.
I'm going like this.
Same thing with the Sparks Fly one. I do love that one. But again, it would have, gone a little more harder. We did a little bit of a moment. But I like the tour video now because I like the way it's edited. The Red tour video, that really to this day is an insult to me.
Mm-hmm. Because that song was just so deserving of a single.
To be fair, it's our only evidence that there was a recording of
the Red
tour
to begin with. Oh, no, there's that performance of the last time.
Yes.
That they muted and put the track over it. I was like, why not just upload the actual performance, you freaks?
It's not right.
The real crime is Everything Has Changed music video. I hated that. She's not in
that
it.
That and 15.
Children. I don't want to see children in Taylor's
videos.
Yeah,
I don't care about that kind of stuff. I don't get this like obsession with kids falling in love.
No,
how
it's
cute.
Weird. It's weird.
I think it's weird. It's kind of giving like a Piper Raquel sort of like YouTube moment.
Right.
Anyway.
What's up next?
What's up next? Oh, this is my last one. You're never going to believe the words that are about to come out of my mouth. But I know it's true. You ready? Nobody talks about it anymore. This should be a fan favorite. The Way I Loved You. Say it.
Oh.
Say it.
Okay.
Underrated.
The thing is that I do remember at the end of the Eras tour, they were screaming for her to play that.
She hasn't played it, correct?
I think she did, but she mashed it up with something.
You see that? Underrated.
Wow. Say more. She's like, I didn't get that far.
I'm saying underrated. Well, I've talked to you about the pipeline before. the pipeline.
This is the pipeline that I'm not.
The Way I Loved You.
Mm-hmm.
Red.
Yeah.
Daylight.
Mm-hmm. She's lost me. I'm gone.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So The Way I Loved You, she's expressing the fact that she feels like love is supposed to be chaotic, passionate, like a roller coaster kind of rush. Fast forward to Red, she's expressing the exact same sentiment.
It's a new Maserati.
Losing him was blue, like I never, like all these intense, passionate, red emotions. Go to Daylight. I used to believe love was burning red, but now I see daylight. I only
but
see
it's
daylight.
It's golden.
I only red see daylight. Daylight. What is the finale of this pipeline?
Yeah,
we have
you,
one.
You can't have the pipeline without the final
moment.
No,
we do have the finale. What is it?
I feel like she doesn't even know her own
No,
pipeline.
I do know. I know the pipeline. Hold on. But there was one that was like came out on Midnight's or Torture Poets. I was like, you see how this is the pipeline.
Midnight Rain?
No, yes, yes, that's what it is. That's the pipeline. I broke his heart because he was nice.
Some people have been saying it. I'm not saying
he is sensible and so incredible. I broke his heart because he was
now,
nice.
Now, see, I can do The Way I Loved You, Midnight Rain, Sister.
I don't understand what's so crazy to you about fitting into Red and Daylight. To me, it makes perfect sense.
Get Daylight
Put
out
some
of
W's in the chat get for it makes perfect sense.
Clap if you think that Daylight doesn't belong there.
Put some W's in the chat.
Send me a token. Send me a galaxy.
Do you still do YouTube releases?
No.
No, we don't do
that
anymore.
That has been stopped.
But what about my W's?
Well, you get them in the comment section. Just leave a comment, baby. Comment permanent section. W's.
W's in the chat, please.
W's in the chat, please. All right. My last one. I have more, but I'll just pick one, I guess. I don't know which one to choose. I don't know what to wear.
What wig am I going to wear?
Should I do an old Taylor or a new Taylor?
Do a new Taylor.
A new Taylor. Well, I think there's something to be said about It's Time to Go.
Okay.
It's underrated for sure because people don't like it.
It's underrated by Madeline.
It's underrated by Madeline.
I don't like the production.
It has grown on me so much. I think it's like what Long Story Short wants to be so bad, like a combination of like the fictional storytelling and the personal story. I just think it's more effective. I also love The Crook Who Was Caught.
She's a crook who... No, there are some iconic lyrics.
There are some absolute belters in there. He's got my past frozen behind glass, but I've got me. It gives me chills whenever I hear it. It is like a new area, a new direction, a new vibe. And I think that for that alone, it deserves to be the greatest song ever made.
But you know what part I don't like? When the son of the boss gets a promotion at work that was supposed to be yours.
Well, I kind of get what she's saying.
I get what she's saying, but I feel like it kind of like, I don't know,
Right Where You Left Me definitely stole her thunder as a bonus track, and rightfully so. But I just think that we're not talking about it enough.
Okay. And I would like to hear that.
Since we're talking about songs that we don't talk about enough.
Say it.
I'll just read you, for the interest of time, what I have left on my list.
The interest of time.
I put The Last Time. That is underrated.
Underrated by Madeline.
Yeah, underrated by Madeline permanently. I had Superstar on there.
Underrated by Madeline. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard it in a long time.
Actually, all of these are underrated by Madeline. Never Grow Up.
Underrated by Madeline.
Well, I have one that I know.
It's like the only song on Speak Now I really do not like. But as the years have gone on, I see the vision.
I have one that you're not going to be underrated. That you will agree is underrated if this was a movie.
Underrated.
Underrated by everyone.
Underrated by the
world.
Underrated by Taylor. She tried to pretend like it's a fearless song. We know the truth.
We know the truth. She tried to play it on the piano.
And you know what? If you're going to do that, if she had said, I actually wrote this during the
Fearless
session.
Yeah, come out and say it. Don't just slap it on there.
Because you guys know why she did that. I mean, let's just know it together.
Abducted. She was abducted and kidnapped. It's not fair. I also had Peace.
Underrated.
Underrated.
They don't talk about that either.
Peace and Hoax.
They're
both
always,
underrated
they're
divas.
Always talking August, Cardigan, uh-huh. Betty. Well, what about Peace and Hoax?
It's never Peace. It's never Peace and Hoax. And I also, my last one was Question.
Can I ask you a question?
I think people moved on from it because it was Hieroglyphics and then they forgot about it.
And then when the Hieroglyphics came back and we had the Hieroglyphics live in person when she was doing, mm-hmm. I'm happier than I've ever been and everything in my life makes sense.
That is when I felt so.
For that reason, I'm going to play Question. Can I ask you a question?
One of that, honestly, that's top five of her entire career, most deranged thing she's ever done.
And I love it. That's when I saw the girl.
It clicked.
I saw the girl.
It clicked.
Because that's what the girl needs to be doing. The girl needs to get up there and say, I'm going to do something that's so demented and so crazy. People are going to spend years talking about the fact that I did this.
They're not going to believe it.
And she did it. And how often in the previous 5 years, how often had she done that?
Almost never.
Almost never.
She was boring as fuck. That's a joke.
That's a joke.
She was happy.
In
her mind, she was happy in that moment, but we knew the truth. And in that moment, we knew the truth, too. We said, this is crazy, and you're crazy.
Yeah, we were trying to parse it.
No, I
remember.
But it was just, it was to say I'm happy, and what killed me was everything just makes sense. And then playing question, it was like, okay, it's like saying everything makes sense and then doing hieroglyphics.
Well, they were cooking on question for a long time because remember, this is actually a compelling argument. I do have to give it to the Hailers. I remember.
Hello, I mean, I'm making the argument.
It's a coincidence.
I'm making the argument. Well,
to
we
me,
were gagged when we heard it for the first time. We knew,
I actually didn't clock it.
We were bullish on question from our first review of it. We said, this is the most interesting song on the album because it's fucking insane that she would ever write something like this and let Joe Alwyn hear it. From the
that was
start,
the we were thinking about
we said something's going on at home.
But what was so crazy about it was I think people might have been having like little whispers about maybe question could possibly be about Maddie. Mm-hmm. And then she got up on stage and she said, can I ask you a question while she was dating him?
Yeah.
So that's when we were like, oh my God, that's when I did my Twitter space where I logged in and I finally decided to like pay attention to like the lore of Maddie Healy. Because remember, this is before Torture Poets. We didn't know a lot of the lore. A lot of it was
we didn't care.
Hush, hush.
We also didn't care.
So that's when I finally listened to, I read the lyrics to About You out loud and it really gagged me. I remember I was like, wait.
I was all clicking. Wait. Oh, that was so fun. That was like being Lady Gaga at the Capitol. We were finding
bullet
holes.
Yeah, we were finding bullet holes.
It was everything.
Oh, I wish we could go back.
Now she just sits in Philly.
Philly's not interesting.
Now, and what do we have now? We have 26.
And it meant nothing.
We have the AMAs.
Are you happy with yourselves?
Did you get the man?
Did you get the job?
Did you get the girl? House?
Did you get the announcement? Did you get the TV?
You didn't.
No.
You didn't. And what did we get? Clowned on.
No, and then it happens and nobody says, oh, I'm so embarrassed. No, they just go, well.
Literally.
So now let's talk about a couple of the songs that we think are overrated.
August. I'm sorry, it is. It is completely overrated.
You know what? I'd like to share.
Yep.
I used to think the same thing. I used to think August is so overrated.
I don't like to hear when you don't agree with me.
You gagged me. I didn't expect you to say that. I had something else in mind that was... But nonetheless, I kind of feel rated.
Okay, why?
Because I like it and I think it's really good. Because, no, I'll tell you, I thought it was so overrated until I think the Eras Tour.
Well, okay, people were really annoying about it when Folklore
yes.
came out. They were really annoying
Say it.
About August. And to me, August goes into the same bucket as Champagne Problems.
Back when we were still changing for the better. One teen was enough.
Tay British.
For me, it
Seeing
was
it
enough.
Live made me get it more. Seeing Champagne Problems live did not make me like it one iota more. It actually reinforced all of my thoughts and feelings about it.
Well, I will say, when the album first came out and everybody was going crazy over August, I was like, you guys just like it because it's one of the only ones that has a fucking beat.
Yeah, and it's also the easiest one to understand. I hate to say it, but like it is.
Do you remember? Remember when I pulled up and said,
and there's something to that. There is something to that. I can't be too much of a hater about it.
I love, on the Eras Tour, I went crazy for it every time. Except for the first time.
Well, you were down. You were down.
I was down. But I was up every other time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the vision. I saw it.
Okay, so I think it's overrated. I really do.
Now I wish I had a hot take. Because that was a really hot take. No, I was going to say Champagne Problems.
Well, that's
not
right.
a hot take.
That's not a hot take. It's a hot take to the people who love Champagne Problems. I'll tell you that for free.
I used to say, this was before Red TV came out, I used to say All Too Well overrated. Shut up about All Too Well.
You never catch me saying that.
I said it. There were dozens of us, dozens, who said that All Too Well was overrated. Because they were preferring it over Dear John. In my opinion, if we're just talking 5-minute versions, Dear John clears.
No.
If we're just talking 5-minute versions. Well, I'm talking
like the full version.
I'm saying
a Oh my God, they're fighting.
I'm saying not the 10-minute version of All Too Well.
Okay.
Obviously, the 10-minute version of All Too Well clears Dear John because it doesn't go to that place.
Well, the normal version of All Too Well clears Dear John, too. Nobody wants that.
I don't agree.
Other overrated songs. What?
I'm saying.
And I say, well, okay. And you may say.
And he may say.
You may say whatever you like.
Dear John is sick, my tongue.
It is. I had to clock you for a second.
Okay, so what did I say? What's something that I think is overrated now?
Is there a torture poem? Oh, Fortnite is overrated. I'm sorry.
Fortnite overrated.
Definitely overrated.
I'm saying Smallest Man overrated. There's your hot take.
Yes. Oh, now let's have that conversation. We had this conversation on the street the other day, and I think we should bring it to the podcast. We think that The Smallest Man was kind of fumbled a little bit. It could be something better than it is.
It could have been better.
That's where we really needed an editor. It's messy. Lyrically, it's not as concise as it could be. And I feel like when you're writing a song called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, you really need to land every punch. Every punch needs to connect with the jaw and knock out. And there were certain lines in this song that just felt as though it was taking a cheap shot rather than a deserved shot. And he deserved every blow, but she took a couple cheap shots.
Well, I also think that the "they just ghosted you, now you know," that's kind of like
juvenile.
It's like petty, which is like, yeah, she's in a petty place. There's nothing wrong with being petty. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying that I don't feel like it's as well written as like the second verse. I think it's very well written.
Yep.
And it's the first one, I love "Who the Fuck Was That Guy?"
Oh, yeah.
I love "Your Jehovah's Witness Suit."
Was any of it true?
Was any of it true? I mean, there's so many good parts of it, but I just feel like there are parts. And this is, if I can speak, I love Aaron Dessner. I love when Aaron and Taylor work together. But I have noticed multiple times over when they work together, Aaron won't edit Taylor as much as other producers might.
Right.
So like, let's 90s Trent, who let that in the cat? Who let that cat in the house?
Grew up out of, oh, wait, no, that was Jack.
That was Jack.
That was Jack.
Maybe both of them are just like totally, we don't edit anymore.
No.
We just kind of let Taylor cook.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Well, maybe we should get a third person.
And then also the Smallest Man, the production really lets it down on the bridge too. Like, that bridge is amazing, but the way it's produced is horrible. It sounds bad. It does.
Nobody else wants to say it.
No, they
don't.
And
when I said
it,
they tried to take me down.
They tried to get my good sis.
They tried to take me down for saying that The Smallest Man is Dear John for stupid people. I wasn't allowed to say that. And what I mean is, that's like, obviously I'm like being catty. I'm being facetious. What I mean specifically is that, like, I think that Dear John is a better executed song. That's what I'm saying when I say that.
Again,
I don't think
you're
stupid
if
you like it.
If you're going to be petty, you have to be really good at being petty, because otherwise it comes across as like juvenile or silly.
What I just said, that was an example of what not to do.
When you're trying to land a punch.
Yeah.
Anything else overrated? Anything from Midnights? Yeah, there's a lot of you know what? I think Maroon is kind of overrated. I like it, but I don't think it cooks as hard as everybody wants it to. Because at the end of the day,
your roommate's truce. When we get to October.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's time.
And
that song comes on.
That song and a glass of wine.
Mama likes it.
Delicious. I love Maroon. But it is seasonal to me. I'm not just listening to it all the time. I cannot listen to that song in the summer. I would rather die. It doesn't make any sense.
She would rather die.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense to be on a beautiful day, 75 degrees, sun shining in the sky, and you're going, "Your roommate's cheap ass Gustave Rosé. That's how." It doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't make any sense.
No, it needs to be October, and I need to be gloom, doom.
Also, to me, that one is so dense lyrically that
the mark is out on my collarbone.
Even when you're trying to revisit it, it's like there are things to pick out there, but a lot of it just doesn't make sense. So Scarlet, it was Maroon. We're still trying to understand what that means.
I get it.
What does it mean?
It means it was so Scarlet that it was Maroon.
I just don't think that it's there. I think that people think very highly of it, and
well,
I don't.
She wanted to say, "Would that make your memory fade from the Scarlet Maroon?" Is that wrong?
Let's see, now I know
that's
why she
where
likes
the cook
it
is.
So much.
That's where the
that's
cook is. Well, because
cares.
It's all part of the diagram. Mm-hmm. It's on the serial killer board.
No, you're right. You're right about that, but I still think it's overrated.
And you're wrong.
Evermore overrated. Well, we've had Champagne Problems. Talked about her. August for Folklore. Lover.
What's overrated on Lover?
Where do we start? The man, maybe? No, no I'm, let me say it. Like... Let me say it. Lover title track is overrated.
It's not. It,
thank you.
That's not Madeline's.
The show's over. Madeline and Zach co-signed endorsement of that sentiment.
I never said it.
Madeline said Lover is
I
overrated.
I got married to Lover
and
the song.
And then she realized so. It was overrated and she wouldn't do it again.
No,
thank
I didn't.
You.
It wasn't because it was overrated. Now, hold on. I just think that if I got married again, I wouldn't pick it again because there's other songs that I would do.
What would you do now?
I like Invisible String. I think that's a really cute. If I was having a summer wedding, for real, Invisible String would be perfect. What else would I pick?
Dear John.
No.
Okay, anything else from Lover that you think is overrated?
The man no, is Lover's overrated. A hard one because it's like a battleground.
The whole thing is overrated.
Yeah. So it's like, I feel like most people don't think The Man is that good. Yeah, there are some people who are like,
but maybe like, Cornelia Street.
Oh, Cornelia Street, yeah. Yeah, that one's really overrated. Mm-hmm. And Cornelia Street itself is overrated. I mean, it's just surrounded, it, shrouded.
The entire endeavor overratedness. Is just, it's too much for too little.
Yeah.
What's next? Reputation? New Year's Day. Easily. Cleared.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
Way overrated. Nobody cares. Nobody moves. Many people do, and they're going to be in our comments. I know they will. I'll see you there. 1989, This Love.
This Love is overrated.
It's not bad, but it is not as good
this
as you people want to say it is.
This love is good. This love is bad.
This love is alive back from the dead. Oh. I think this is the most singing we've ever done. Red overrated? I mean, I guess All Too Well is the thing. It's the one.
Yeah, what's overrated aside from All Too Well? What's everybody like? I can't think of any.
It might be Holy Ground, but I would never dare say
I
that.
I don't think that one's overrated. Good. I don't see people talking about it a lot.
Good.
Good.
They better not.
They better not.
I'll getcha.
Get kept. Speak Now, overrated.
Message in a Bottle, maybe, I guess, if we're talking overrated.
Well,
on Red,
overrated by the like grocery stores. Yes. Overrated when you're in your in the produce section.
Speak Now?
I don't think anything's overrated.
No, it's all perfectly rated.
No, it's all perfectly
perfect
rated.
And wonderful.
Yeah, it's all perfect
like, there
and
just
wonderful.
Isn't anything that is bad on that record.
Fearless, overrated?
Again, I'm kind of struggling. Oh, You're Not Sorry.
Yeah.
I've just become a You're Not Sorry auntie over the years.
Well, it doesn't – it really aged.
She don't hit anymore.
You're not sorry.
You don't have to call anymore. Okay, we get it. debut, Mary's Song.
I don't think that's overrated, though. You just don't like
no,
it.
No, they're obsessed with it. I always see them.
Only
remember,
because –
I heard her sound checking
Mary's
Song. Only
because of the I'll be 87, you'll be 89 implications. That's the only reason people are talking about it today.
What's overrated then on debut? Maybe Picture to Burn, but
no, underrated, underrated.
She's
underrated.
A mess. She's a
mess. Underrated. I don't think any of it's overrated. I should if somebody was like, I love, should have said no. I'd be like, you're right. Yeah. Teared Up to My Guitar, you're right. Mm-hmm. Tim McGraw, you're right.
A perfectly
our
good
song,
heart.
You're right.
But no, not
but
enough
it's
people
not,
are saying
not
it.
People
no one's
saying,
saying it. No one's
nobody's
saying it.
Nobody's saying it. Nothing is overrated. No, debut and Fearless are kind of like exempt because. If somebody has that as, like, their favorite, like, anything from the album, I'm like, you're real.
You're the diva.
You're real. Back in the day, one might have said, I don't even know. One might have said.
I'm trying to think, like, but You're Not Sorry was, like, the song. But that was the song for a while.
Yeah, it was strange. It, like, really wasn't good. Remember the CSI remix? All this time. And the echoes and everything.
Bad.
Bad. It was really bad. Don't
everything
listen
about
to
that
it.
Appearance was bad.
All this time.
Well, as you're watching us wrap this podcast up in person, we are in about 7 hours going to be on stage.
That's really weird.
Less than that, actually. That's none of my business.
I'm like, have I spent all my jokes already today? I don't think I did.
Well,
is it a finite resource?
It might be. No, it won't be.
It won't be.
It can't
be.
Oh, we laugh, but then it's serious.
We won't be laughing soon.
And sadly, you just won't be seeing us together again for who knows how long.
That's so weird.
Isn't it? Are you going to miss us?
They're not.
We'll be back in our little boxes.
They're not.
I'd say they're going to be like, get back in those boxes.
Get back in your box.
Get back in there. Ah! Madeline, your legs are too long. Said no one. Mm-mm. Madeline, we don't want to see your tattoos anymore.
Madeline, we hate seeing your stupid chubby little legs.
Zach,
on screen.
Stop kicking your feet like a little boy. Sorry.
Oh. Yes, just stop breathing.
Yeah,
I can hear
breathing.
Your mouth making
stop
sounds.
Breathing. That's
I can
our
hear your mouth
feedback.
Making noises.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you for your mouth.
Fuck you. Fuck you for
can
having
can you talk
a mouth.
With something that's not your mouth?
Fuck you for having spit in your mouth. Fuck you for breathing.
And just fuck you.
Yeah, and just fuck you.
Well, the tour's over by the time you're listening to this, so congratulations to us. Hee hee. You should go to patreon.com/Swiftologist to check out the live recording of the show, which will eventually be made available there. And just to keep up with us, because that's where everything happens. You don't even know what goes on this Patreon.
No, it's crazy. The things that happen would astound you.
It New Music Friday reactions pretty
it
much every week.
Astound you what goes on.
Bonus weekly episodes. Yeah. Like, you would be lucky to be there. Honestly, we should start capping how many people can be on it. You're going to be hating from outside the club because you won't be able to get in.
Mm.
All right. Goodbye.